as we bring the message. James chapter 1. The Bible talks in James chapter 1 about this fella here trying to get something from the Lord, and he don't ask in faith, and he don't get it. And he said he ain't going to get nothing from the Lord if he don't believe him. And the verse I want to use this morning is really not talking about prayer, but there's a word in here that I'd like for you to look at. Verse number 8. A double-minded man is unstable. And it don't mean just unstable in some things. It said a double-minded man is unstable in what? All his ways. Everything a double-minded man... Don't start on me this morning. I was up late. Everything that a double-minded man does, that's the last time I'll try to say that, will come out half-hearted. Is there something wrong with it? Everything he does, he's unstable in all of his ways. Now, if that verse is true, a double-minded man is unstable in his home life. I'm telling you better watch it. I'm already in a bad mood. You've never seen me get mad, really. Now listen. A man that ain't got his mind right don't do nothing right. He is double-minded. That means half his mind's one way, half his mind, he's trying to hang on the Lord, he's trying to hang on the devil. You know anybody like that? You ever seen these people that try to have one foot out there going along with the world and the other foot along with the church? And when you see them, yeah, man, everything's cool. Yeah, we're going to party tonight. Then, oh, yeah, I got a blessing last week. They're unstable in all their ways. If you try to fit in with the world and the church, you won't fit in either one of them. I remember when I first got saved, my hair was way down here on the shop, about down here. I thought, now, wait a minute, I got to straighten up here. I can't be a hippie and be a Christian. And so I decided I'd split the difference and get it cut halfway up. And I thought if I get it cut halfway up, when I'm out in the world, I feel good. And when I'm in church, I felt good. Guess what? I didn't fit in either crowd then. You can't hang on to both. Now, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings this morning, and I hate to make you feel terrible and just force you into this, but you cannot hang on to both. You can't do it. There's got to come a time in your life when you make a decision if you're going to live for God or go on with the world. I'm preaching to you this morning on the subject, fear-straddling religion. Now, that is a common term used in the mountains, you know. That old so-and-so, he got fence-straddling religion. And I know there ain't no Bible verse that says that. And I know in the Bible there ain't even no fence. But you understand the terminology, I'm sure. In the Bible, there's no such thing as being on the fence, because there ain't no, you're either in or out. You understand that. But I'm saying this morning, there is such a thing as people who have fence-straddling religion. Everybody who knows you ought to know whose side that you're on. They may not like you, they may not agree with you, but they should know where you stand. Everybody that you work with on your job should know that you stand for the Lord. I mean, you don't have to be a smart aleck. They should know that you stand for the Lord. And I'm telling you, the way the world is this morning, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to go in and toot a horn and say, I'm here to stand for God. You stand for God. It won't take people long to figure out that you're standing for the Lord. All you kids that go to school, everybody that you go to school with ought to know that you love the Lord. They ought to know you believe the Bible. They ought to know that you pray. They ought to know. You kids pray at school. Do you pray on your job? When you get your lunch and set it down there, do you bow your head and say, thank you, Lord, for the food? I was talking about these two Mormons that come to my house up in my new converts class a while ago. There's these two Mormon guys in my house a long time ago. I got in there and started talking to them. And they was about 19, 20 years old. The boys, they were just out trying to make some converts, doing what they were told to do. And I asked them, I said, do you boys know that you're going to heaven when you die? And both of them said no. And I said, you're out here telling other people how to go to a place and you don't even know you're going? And they said, well, not for sure, but as we continually comply with the wishes of Heavenly Father, we gradually feel we're accepted by us. I said, oh, come on now. You don't know where you're going to go if you died right now. And they said, no. And I said, Can I pray with you before you leave? And they got so nervous. And I said, just bow your head. Bow your head right there. I'm going to pray with you. Have you ever noticed how a Jehovah Witness or a Mormon or somebody will react when you say, well, you're out here talking about God, 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 God. That's all you do is talk about God. Let's talk to Him. No. They sure do talk a lot about God to never talk to God, don't they? And I said, let's pray, boys. And they said, okay. And they bowed their head, and I said, God, help these two boys. But they got quiet in there. You could hear a pin drop. I said, God, these boys don't know where they're going when they die. Help them, Lord. Save them. They don't know where they're going. Boy, I tell you what, when we got through it, nice talking to you, and they was gone down the road. There's something wrong with a religion that leaves God out of it. I know a lot of Baptists too, brother. A lot of Baptists that's got what we call fence-straddling religion. Now I want to tell you three or four things this morning about fence-straddling religion. The first thing I want to say is, what is it? What is fence-straddling religion? Well, it is loose living. It's living too close to the edge. It seems like the modern task of most Christians is trying to figure out how close they can get to the edge and still be right. You know what I mean? Have you noticed most people nowadays? And I'm not, you know, y'all know me. You know how I am on stuff like this. I don't beat you over the head and say you have to believe everything just like I do. But I know there's a limit, brother. And there's a limit to sin. And there's a limit to worldliness. And there's a limit to taking a stand for God. And most Christians you see nowadays, they want to get just as close to that world as they can get without slipping off the edge, and where they can still be considered right. You can't really point your finger and say you're backslid, because they stay in just far enough, you know, to where you can't say anything about what they're doing. But I'll tell you what that is. That's fence-straddling religion. It's living too close to the edge. Heard about this fellow one time who was hunting somebody to drive a chariot for him. And you've heard me tell the story how that these three men applied for the job. And the first fellow come in, he said, listen, he said, I'm an expert chariot driver. He said, I can drive them chariots around there. I can come to within 1 foot of the edge of the cliff and never run off. Yes, sir, I've never lost one yet. I'm a great chariot driver. And so the man said, okay, I'm impressed. Sit down. And the next fellow come in, he said, listen, I am the best chariot driver in the world. Nobody will a chariot like I can. He said, I can take that chariot and I can drive that thing right to the edge of that cliff. I can come to within 1 inch of the edge and never run off one time. And that guy said, really? He said, that's right. You ain't never seen nobody could drive a chariot like me. He said, okay, sit down. Next fella come in, he said, listen, I'm not a very good driver. He said, I don't have much confidence in myself. He said, but I tell you what, I'll do my best, but I ain't getting near them edges. I stay just as far away from the edge of the cliff as I can get. And the man said, okay, you got the job. You're hired. He didn't want somebody playing around the edge, because he knew that if a man plays around the edge long enough, he's going to fall off sooner or later. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we got too many Christians trying to brag about how close to the edge of worldliness that they can live. And God said, I want somebody to stay away from that edge. I read a quote from the rock group Striper. And I said it right, rock group. Ain't no such thing as Christian rock. That's one of them fence-straddling words. That's where you got hyphy pants hanging on one side of the line and another half hanging on the other side of the clothesline, and you're straddling the fence. That's what they call Christian rock. And what they say is it's Christian words and rock music. And a fella jumped down my throat that the other day. You've heard jump down and what happened to me. And buddy, they got on me and they said, it's good words. You can't say nothing's wrong with it because it's got good words to it. And I said, I can say something wrong with it too. They said, it doesn't matter what music is, just as long as you get the words. And I said, is it all right to drink Coke and vodka? And they said, no. I said, well, you're getting the Coke, it's all right. It don't matter what else is in there, as long as you're getting the Coke, right? Isn't it amazing how people can just mix all this stuff up and say, well, we're Christian sinners. They're like grape nuts, man. They ain't grape and they ain't nuts. You know, you don't know what they are. They're one day to this, another day to that. We're living in a day when they come in and say, I mean, you don't know if it's AC/DC or some kind of Glory Road Quartet, brother. You don't know what's what. And young people are left confused because Christians refuse to take a stand for the Lord. Heard about that little boy that kept falling out of bed. And his mama put him to bed and sat down and started reading. Bah! He hit the floor. Ah! She went in there and picked him up and said, what's wrong, son? I fell out of bed. She stuck him back in the bed. She went down in there and sat down and started reading. Bah! He hit the floor again. Son, what's wrong? I fell out of bed again, mommy. She picked him up, put him back in the bed. She went in there and sat down and started reading. He hit the floor again. She ran in there and she said, son, why do you keep falling out of bed like that? He said, Mama, I guess I'm staying too close to where God is at. And that time she stuck him way over in the middle of bed and covered him up and he stayed in there. You know why a lot of you people have a hard time living for God? You know how come? You're like a mole, man. You've got the holes so slick, you can't stay in or out. As Charles Worley said, you've just been in, out, and in, and out. You stay too close to where you got in. You know how come you have to come and rededicate your life so much and say, oh no, I'm backslid again. I got to come to the altar and get right because you refuse to get all the way in. And if you don't get all the way in, that devil will suck you back out. That's what you call fence straddling religion. It's a love of ease. You know, we're living in a day when people don't want conflict. Preacher here in town told me, I said, how's it going, preacher? He said, ah, going pretty good. He said, I had a deacon quit on me here the other day. One of my deacons got mad. He said, you know what that fella done? He said, I've been missing him in church a few Sundays and run into him out there on the road. And I said, brother, we've been missing you at church. And that was on Sunday afternoon. And he said, I'll be there tonight. I'm sorry. I have been missing a lot, preacher. I'll see you tonight. And that guy had went and joined another church that morning. Ain't that people for you? I mean, see his ex-pastor. Y'all see you tonight, preacher. He done went and joined another church. You sure run into some weirdos in church business. I tell you what. Then let me say this. What is the cause of fence-straddling religion? Well, if you believe the Bible, it's the love of money. Amen? That's the root. That's right. It's a love of money, merchandise. How many people do you know right now that won't stand for God because they know if they really did, the Lord's liable to call them to preach, you know, and they'd lose their good job, or the Lord's liable to call them to mission field, and they'd have to have that fine house and that fine car, or the Lord's liable to put them on the spot and then give their testimony at work, and they'd miss that promotion that's coming up pretty soon. I'll tell you what, boy, that old pocketbook, man, when that thing starts a-squealing, it's easy to just kind of calm your Christianity down a little. You ever notice that? That's a cause of fence-straddling religion. People can't believe that people do something without being paid for it nowadays. I was telling that to some folks in the barbershop. They asked me in the barbershop. They said, ask me about the camp. And they said, what do you do about your camp, you know? Who got there and does it all? I said, the ladies of our church. They said they get paid. I said, it's volunteer work. We help out two ladies for their time and trouble and gas expense, as far as the cooking and stuff goes. I said, everybody else goes on their own free time. I give free time. And they couldn't believe it. They said, you mean they go out there and work for nothing? And I said, yep. And I said, well, it ain't exactly for nothing. We getting paid real good. It just ain't payday yet. I'm making $1 million an hour. I just ain't got it yet. I just have to do without till I get to heaven, brother. I'm making $20 million an hour right now. Go out here and tell everybody in town Danny Castle makes $10 million an hour. Boy, they get some good juicy gossip going around town, don't they? I tell you, it's the truth. It's the truth. I just ain't got paid yet. One of these days when I get to heaven, when the Lord gives me payday, you think about walking on gold streets, brother. That's what causes fence-straddling religion. We get our eyes off heaven. We get our mind down here. We're set up in the things of this world. Oh, by the way, let me tell you another thing that causes fence-straddling religion. It's trying to please everybody. Now, I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot please everybody and their brother and please God, too. Some people think you ought to do it this way. Some people think you ought to do it that way. Even good preachers that love God preach stuff completely opposite. And one of them believes it ought to be this way. One of them believes it ought to be that way. One of them preaches on the bus ministry. The other one preaches against the bus ministry. And they both think they're right and all of that stuff. What you're going to have to do, you're going to have to come to a point in your life when you make up your mind that you are going to please God and lay down and be able to sleep at night and know things are right between you and God, and don't make a hill of beans what anybody else thinks. You'll wind up selling the fence. Do you know there's people in town right now that like me and come to our church if I'd quit hollering? You say, well, Brother Danny, I wouldn't like you if you quit hollering. They would. But you wouldn't. So you know what? It don't matter if either one of you does. It's what's God pleased with. We visited a lady right up the street here one day. And we said, can you come to church? She said, I want to ask you one question. Do you yell when you preach? And I should have said, do you have a dictionary? Look up the word, man. What? Imagine a guy saying, are you asleep at night when you're unconscious? Well, what does sleep mean? Do you sit in the seat when you drive a car? What? The man said, do you yell when you preach? What does the word preach mean, brother? And I said, yep. And she said, I can't stand it. She said, it just unnerved me to death. And I waited a few minutes and we talked to her a little bit and I said, do you go to ball games? And she said, yes. And I said, do they yell? And she knew I'd caught her then. She said, yes, but that's different. And then I realized that the yelling ain't what bothers them people. It's what you're yelling. That's the problem, brother. That's why people are, I just don't like to hear a preacher scream and holler. Scream and holler don't bother you. You see it every time you watch a ball game. You see it on game shows. You see it in athletics. You see it in any kind of competition in the world. It's what we're telling you don't like. Amen, brother. I'll cause you fish trailing religion, trying to please everybody. You heard about that fellow who was in the army, and he is back when the blues and the grays were fighting, and he had him a blue uniform and he had him a gray uniform, and every time the grays would come up a hill, he'd put on his gray uniform. I'm with you, boys, let's get them. And then every time the blues would come up, he'd put on his blue coat and he'd say, let's get them, boys, I'm all for you. And that worked out pretty good till one day they both come up, both of them shot him full of holes. I was in a place not long ago. Oh, let me see. Without getting too personal, it might be some of your kin folks. It was at a wedding party, let's say. A little dinner, whatever it is they have the night before the wedding, some of them do. And these people had seen me, and every time they'd see me before this, they'd say, well, hello, Reverend. You know, anytime somebody says that, I know they ain't completely smart. Because the word reverend ain't in the Bible but one time. And it ain't talking about a man. It's talking about God. That's the only time the word reverend's in the Bible. Don't never call a man a reverend. That ain't in the Bible, brother. I know they call me that on radio now. I don't like it. Somebody calls me reverend, I think, crazy thing. They think I'm reverend. Boy, they know me. Like calling you holy or something like that. And they said, hello, Reverend. Hello, Brother Danny. How's the church doing? I heard you on the radio the other day. But every time they'd say that, I could just feel a weird little spirit. It was like, you know, when they were around their friends, they would laugh and joke and tell, you know. But then when I walked in, suddenly it was, I was just reading over there the other day. In 1 John, and they quoted it wrong, had the wrong book and everything. Man, if there's anything that makes me sick, it's for these people that suddenly get so religious when the preacher walks in the door. Oh, brother. They remind me of that little boy that was in there, and the preacher had come to visit, and they didn't realize he was there. And two little boys come in. The preacher was sitting there talking to the mama. And the little boys come in and he said, "Mama, we caught that rat. And Mama Billy hit him in the head with a baseball bat. And we kicked him and mashed his guts out. And then, Mama, we took a big old rock." And he looked over and seen the preacher and said, "And the Lord called him home." It's amazing, brother, how religious people get when the preacher walks in the door. Oh, Lord, there's a preacher. Turn off HBO and put it on the family channel. And hide them dirty books over there. Put that magazine up. Get the Bible out here. And while we was just talking about you, Reverend. I bet you was. There's no telling what you was saying, neither. And these people, there's old Danny this, and old Danny that, and old preacher this, and preacher that. And it never did really impress me. I didn't want to condemn them, but I knew something was fishy. We got down there at that wedding practice and sat down there. Next thing I know, they started carrying in beer by the six-pack. Coolers with ice and sticking, and everybody just passing a beer around. I said, "Huh? Your Sunday school teacher. They're talking about ladies' seminars and this great singer that came to their church the other day. And this great dynamic speaker that brought a seminar. And it was so enlightening." Now, yeah, bull too, brother. It was enlightening, all right. Couldn't even teach you not to drink beer. And they started bringing that. And you know they didn't offer you beer. Wasn't that rude? Now, why didn't they offer me a beer? They never even offered me one. Because people ain't as dumb as they act, folks. They knew good and well that I didn't want no beer. And I've never even said nothing about beer around. It shocked me when they started drinking. It really did. They knew better than offering me a beer because they go, "Well, he don't want one." How could they tell that? I never said a word about it. People ain't near as dumb as they act. "Oh, you say now, preacher, we're saved by grace, and nothing's unclean of itself. And happy is the man that condemneth not himself in the thing which he allowed." That don't mean drinking beer. I'm just old-fashioned enough and hillbilly enough to believe that Christians ain't supposed to drink beer. Say amen out there. I'm telling you, brother, but there was a time when Christians wouldn't even think of drinking beer and wine. Nowadays, it's, well, in moderation. As long as I don't drunk and puke and roll over in it. There's nothing wrong with it. Some of you ain't gonna like it. Some of you visitors say, "Well, I thought this was a nice big downtown church." It is. What's that got to do with drinking beer? Amen, Brother Dane. I was visiting a guy in the hospital one day, and he had been a deacon in a Baptist church 5 miles from here. And I walked in there and sat down, and he had a beer sitting there. I said, "How you doing?" And he saw me looking at that, and he said, "That's for my kidneys." He said, "The doctor made me drink one every day." And I said, "Yeah, I bet you're on shouting ground too, ain't you? Wanting to drink for years and looking for a good excuse to do it. I mean," he said, "now the doctor told me to do this." Let me tell you something, buddy. Cranberry juice works just as good. Don't you give me that baloney about you've got to drink beer for your kidneys. I don't believe that, but the Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby ain't got their marbles all straight. Is not wise, the Bible word. In our language, it means all your bricks ain't laid straight. Amen, brother. That's fifth straddling religion. You say, "Oh, you should be more tolerant." Now, I believe I am tolerant. Anybody that knows me knows I'm very tolerant. I'm open-minded, brother. I'm broad-minded almost to the point of being too broad-minded sometimes. And I give people a lot of leeway. And we don't put no bunch of do's and don'ts on our people. And I believe in Christian liberty. And I believe you're free to serve God the way you want. But there's a limit. There's a limit. I don't preach you out to have the same conditions that I do. But when God's Word says something, your convictions or your preferences or your opinions are out the window, brother. It don't matter what you think. Some people think LSD's okay. Big deal. Number three. What is the cause of or what are the effects of fence straddling religion? Well, the effects is it'll catch up with you sooner or later. What would y'all think about me this morning? If I reached in here and said, "This bud's for me." All us preachers keep a little shot under the pulpit for when we need a little extra. Want to feel a little power. You'd say, "Why, that's awful. I never thought they ain't no difference in me drinking it right here and they are you drinking it at home. Hey, this thing right here ain't holy. There ain't no difference in this carpet and the carpet in your house. Might be a little cleaner. But as far as being holy, they ain't no difference." "Oh, yes, I believe they are." "Well, you're nutty too, buddy. I'm telling you this morning, if it's a sin to me to do it, it's a sin for you to do it. God ain't got no double standard. You know, some people think God puts these certain rules up here a preacher's supposed to go by. But everybody else don't have to go. Well, because 1 Timothy 3, where it said a bishop's supposed to be not greedy of filthy lucre, no Christian's supposed to be greedy of filthy lucre. Well, the Bible said the preacher's supposed to be the husband of one wife. Nobody's supposed to have two wives. Everything you say that God told a preacher to be, I can show you what the Bible said you're supposed to be. People say a preacher's supposed to live this way, and we get to live another way because we ain't a preacher. Wrong me to cuss, it's wrong you to cuss. Wrong me to lie, it's wrong you to lie. Wrong me to lay out of church, it's wrong you to lay out of church. What if I didn't show up tonight and preach? And somebody said, "Good night, where's the preacher? Where's the preacher? Call the house, he's had a wreck or something." And I called, and you called me and I said, "Well, there's something coming on TV I wanted to watch tonight, and I decided to stay here." Wouldn't that blow your mind? And Brother John got up and said, "Brother Danny told you all to pray for him tonight. He's staying home watching TV." Wouldn't be long, you'd be another preacher. Or church one. "Well, how come it's all right if you do that?" "Well, you're the preacher, so you're the listener." Fence straddling religion causes people to stumble. Nothing causes lost people to stumble like fence straddlers. They hear you cussing on the job and looking at dirty magazines and talking about dirty jokes and then come in here and they see you singing in the choir. You know what that does? It causes them to stumble. They say, "That don't fit somewhere." Well, let me say this and I'll close this morning. What is the cure for fence straddling religion? You say, "Brother Danny, you've described me up one side and down the other this morning. I'm not guilty of some of those things you said, but I got it. I have tried to straddle a fence. I've tried to hold on to the world and hold on to the church, and I can't help it. What am I supposed to do?" I'll give you the cure. Number one, stop worrying about what people think. This is you young people. The hardest thing you're going to have to fool with and worry about is worrying about what your friends think about you. When you're 17, 18, 9 years old, you've about ruined your life just worrying about what your friends think of you. Quit it. They ain't worth it. Number two, let God be true and every man a liar. Take what the Bible says, and it don't matter who agrees or disagrees or likes it or don't like it. Say, "This is what God said. This is what I'm going to stand with." Number three, start living for God. Quit living for yourself. Start living for God. You know if you're living right? Now, I'm not trying to heap a bunch of stuff on you that's too heavy for you to bear. But you know how you're living right? When those people that you work with or go to school, when they get in trouble, or they're in the hospital room somewhere, and somebody in the family's dying, do they call on you to come and pray? That's how you know if you're living right. When they say, "Oh Lord, we got to have help from God somehow," so-and-so, if they can get a hold of God, do they think of you like, or would they look over you hunting a Christian? Now, I know everybody ain't going to like you, and I know there's a lot of people that wouldn't call me to preach their dog's funeral. But I hope there's people out there somewhere that would say, if I need somebody to pray for me, I can call Brother Danny. And he'll pray. I hope somebody believes I can pray. If they don't, something's wrong with my life somewhere. And I'm not teaching to be a Christian smart aleck. I'm not teaching to go in and look down on your nose and say, I'm better than you are, and I'm letting you're a bunch of... I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about living for God and letting your light shine. Don't be giddy of fence-straddling religion. Let's stand by our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This morning we're going to give a short invitation. And if God's spoken to your heart, and you're here this morning and you say, preacher, things ain't right in my life.